from the book of Matthew's chapter 9, the gospel recorded by St. Matthew's chapter 9. You have it? If not, it's up there on PowerPoint. I want to read to you verses 27 through 30. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord."
"All right,"
they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no man knows about this." I want to talk about your faith matters. Your faith matters.
Amen.
Many of you have been with me a long time, and you have heard many sermons that I've preached. And you not only have heard my sermons, you have heard many other sermons from many other different preachers. And I don't, just looking at you, many of you have heard much of God's word. But hearing the word by itself does not produce action from God. You will have to not only be hearers of the word, you're going to have to know how to apply the word to your daily living. Because if you don't, your life going to be unproductive spiritually. Spiritually. No doubt you are in the right place. Now that's one conclusion you can come to. You are in the right place. Because you're going to hear the word. But the important thing is, many of you that sit right now are going to hear the same thing that I preach. It's going to be profitable to some of you.
Yes.
And to some of you, it didn't make any difference if you was here or not.
There you go.
Because it's going to be unprofitable. That's the reason the writer in Hebrews 4:2 said what? "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard." If you don't take the word and apply it to your life,
there you go.
Right.
By living out the word is an indication that you believe what you heard or believe what you read in the word. And James warned us not to be just hearers only, but also doers.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, one of the most important things in your Christian journey is faith. It's essential. It's very essential. And the writer in Hebrews 11:6 said, "And without faith,"
yes, sir,
"without faith," go down to the next one. I think my PowerPoint man left me. There you go. Right there. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who come to him must believe that he exists and that he reward those who diligently seek him. There's two important words in there. The first one is without. Without. Without, that leaves a space. When you say without, that leaves an empty space. This building without chairs, that leaves what? Space. So in the word without. So he said without what? That leaves space for unbelief. It leaves space for lack of belief.
All right.
And then that second important word is please. Please. Now, when you said please, when you are pleased about something, that means that you are happy or you are satisfied.
Come on.
But if you look at the opposite of please, you'll get even a better definition. The opposite of please is disobedience, to dishonor, to bring shame to neglect to hear. Now, when you put all of that together and put the antonym to please, which is the opposite, this is what God sees. He sees you being disobedient. He sees you dishonoring him. He sees you bringing shame to him. And he sees that you neglect to hear him. Now, seems like the antonym to please gave you a better definition of made you see clearer what please mean than the definition of please. Because the Father is displeased when we live a lifestyle of dishonoring him.
Yes, sir.
Yes, he is.
Many people hear the Bible, but never truly live the Bible. Why is it that we don't live what we hear?
Preach.
Why do we want to keep hearing something with no intention of doing what we hear?
Please.
Are y'all following me here?
All right.
There is a space of unbelief that causes us to keep on being disobedient to the word of God.
Yes.
That is the lack of faith.
That's it.
The lack of faith.
Amen. Amen.
When you look at this scripture, 11 and 6 in Hebrews, it says that God is a rewarder of them who honestly, diligently work hard at seeking him.
Amen.
When you look at this, you can see why your prayers are not answered. Because this verse in itself says this. Listen to me carefully. God don't answer your prayers. He answers your faith.
All right.
Y'all hear what I just said? He said he rewards what? Your faith. He didn't say he rewards your prayer. He rewards your faith. So if you pray without faith, God hears not. Because it's not mixed with faith.
Amen. Thank God for Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Your faith is the main ingredient.
That's it.
That puts you into access of everything that heavenly has to offer you.
Amen.
It is faith that brings you in contact with God.
Amen.
And when you connect with God,
yes, sir,
you can draw strength from God.
Yes.
But it takes your faith. Now, did you notice in our text that when these two blind men came to Jesus, and they said, "Lord, do what? Have mercy upon us." And Jesus went on in the house. And the Bible said they came on in the house. And Jesus turned around and asked them a question. Do you believe I can do what you are asking me to do? Why? Many times we ask God for things that we really don't believe he's going to do.
Somebody going to go home.
Oh, y'all didn't hear. We believe and we know for certain that God can do anything, don't we? We know that, don't we? But you know what breaks down the equation?
Go ahead.
We don't believe he'll do it for us. But he can do it, but we somehow or another we don't believe he'll do it for me.
Yeah. All
right. That's the reason Jesus said, do you believe I can do what you asking me
to do?
When you go into God, Jesus put your in faith. Jesus said, when you pray, whatever you are asking for, believe that you have received it already, and you shall have what you ask for. He wants you to exercise your faith, your belief in him. Do you believe what the man replied? Yes, Lord. And then Jesus said another outstanding. According to your faith. According to what? Not my faith, Jesus. I'm going to do this based upon what you believe.
According to your faith.
According to what you believe, I'll do
it.
So, your faith matters.
Your
faith matters. Jesus want to do, really, he want to honor all of our prayers.
Amen, son.
It would be shameful on Jesus' part to tell us to come to him in prayer. And when we come, he don't listen.
Yeah.
that would be wrong on his part, wouldn't it?
Yes,
telling you ought to always pray.
All right.
And not give up. And then when I do, no. If he's eager to hear you in prayer, that letting him know that you are depending on him. You are doing everything on him.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
When we pray, he wants us to believe in him. He wants us to honor him in everything.
Yes, sir.
He wants us to put him and his word at the forefront of our lives. He wants us to take all of our thinking that exalts itself above him and his will to bring it into captivity.
Yes, sir.
He wants to tear down these strongholds in our lives. And he wants us to see how powerful he can work in our lives. According to your faith, so be it unto you.
Uh-huh.
Now, God said he dealt to every man a measure of faith.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
According
to
his several abilities.
Yes.
That's what he said.
So every one of us,
yes, sir,
that belongs to God, God has dealt to us a measure of faith. Don't worry about how much you gave me. Amen.
Amen.
I don't care how much I try, I can't get Moses' faith. Abraham faith. He went out as the father of the faithful.
All right.
But he gave me a measure of faith to the ability that I can have.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
The truth of it is not the amount of faith that you have. Is that the problem is you don't use the faith that you already have.
Okay.
You know, it's not that you need big faith. You won't use the little bitty faith. I don't know if it's because we've been in Texas all of our lives. I've been here so long till we're thinking that everything in Texas got to be big. And you're thinking you got to have big faith for God to move. Because Jesus said, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, if you can just use what you got.
Yeah, that is small. Amen.
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 Taking God's word as he says it and stand on it.
Amen.
Practice it. Engraft it in your daily lives.
Yes,
you live by it. Yes. Jesus said in John 6 is 63. The words I speak are life.
Right.
They are spirit and they are life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's what Jesus said about his word. They are spirit and they are life. Jesus is saying that his words is not just words on paper. That's what makes the Bible different from any book in the whole world. It's not dead words written on paper.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Paul says, all scripture is that God breathes. God can breathe life through these words as you read them and study them and transform into your life.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Amen, son. Thank you, Jesus.
All scriptures are the inspiration of God. God breathed through it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And the Hebrew writer said, the word is alive.
Yeah.
It's alive.
It is alive.
So,
that's what we say about Jesus. He is the living word. The Logos. This is the Rhema.
Yeah.
The written word. That's Greek words. Logos, Rhema. But they're not just words on paper.
That's it.
They are life. The word I can testify, and many of you can testify, it is the word that has transformed our lives.
Yeah.
It's power. And many people, I believe, don't practice the word because they haven't experienced the power that comes through it.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Let me give you another example. The woman with the issue of blood. Y'all remember her, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
In Matthew 9, it was another account, but we were reading the one, Matthew 9 and 20 to 23. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood for 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I could but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. What made that woman, what gave that woman her healing? Her faith. Jesus said, your faith. It was nothing about his garment. But she believed, if I can just do that, I can be whole. Jesus, God can work through anything. God is God. God is Father. God can do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it, however he wants to do it, and no man can stop him from doing it because he's God. I can be gracious to those who I want to be gracious. I can show mercy to whom I want to show mercy because what? I'm God.
Amen.
I'm trying to put God in a box saying what God won't do, what God will do. God can do whatever he wants to do.
Amen.
Stop mind trying to figure out a big God. God gave us a little revelation in this book about himself, and we've been struggling trying to understand it. And we think we can figure out God. You can't figure out God.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
My thoughts are much higher than your thoughts.
Yes,
my ways are much higher than your ways. And you trying to figure me out? Then you're going to tell me what I ought to do? Stop trying to order God around in your prayers. Like he's your fetching boy. Go to the hospital. Go to the nursing home. Do y'all know when you go to the hospital, Jesus go with you? Huh? When you go to the hospital, Jesus go with you? Why? He's on the inside of you. But somehow or another, we want to send him there, and we're going to stay in the living room and look at the rockets. Instead of going to jailhouse, Lord, go visit them in the jailhouse. You're not going up. You've been downtown. You know what a jailhouse is. But you want Jesus to do all of it. So you can drink your Kool-Aid under the tree.
Thank you,
Jesus. I'm just telling you the truth. This woman's faith healed her. She had all of the access to the healing power. When you read Luke's version of that, Luke said, as she heard that he was coming.
That's it.
Then she had to get out there. And he had a crowd all around
him. That's it.
And she just couldn't walk up to him and touch to him. That woman had to get down on her knees and crawl through that crowd and try to touch the hem of his garment that he had all his tassels and bells on. And she said, if I could just touch it. She believed that if I can touch it, she had to make an effort. You know what that says? There ought to be some action behind your belief.
Amen.
She didn't say that I could touch it, and she said, well, when he come by, I'm going to sit on my poach. When he come by. No, some action got to follow what you believe.
Would it work? She said,
James made it plain. Plain faith without works. I believe. James will show me your works. Show me that you believe.
Well, don't preach a break.
But somehow or another, we feel that faith alone is enough.
All right.
Belief.
Uh-huh.
Well, I believe God. I believe. What James was so funny because he was so teed off at these people talking about just believe. He said, well, the devil believe.
That's right. Joe said it.
The devil knew God better than he did. You know that?
Right.
He was the one that was in God's face, and you know, he was the head angel.
The head angel.
Don't think he was ugly. God made him magnificent. When you read how God created Satan, he was beautiful. He called him the morning star.
That's what he called him.
All right.
Yes, sir. Come on, preach. Yes, sir.
So James said, the devils believe, and they tremble.
All right.
So he was trying to let you know that it's more to faith than just believing. It's action.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
It's action.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir.
This woman showed action that she believed.
Yes, she did.
Because she made an effort to get to him.
All right.
Whatever it takes, I'm going to get to him.
Yes, sir.
If you believe that you're going to get that job, you ought to make an effort.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I was talking to a young man a few weeks ago, and I asked him what he do every day. He worked with a temp agency, and I asked him, well, you can get a job, you go from temp to perm. He said, yeah, but you got to work your way up.
you know, I didn't understand, but after he explained it to me, I understood that you just don't get sent out on a temp to perm job until you prove yourself to the temp agency that you're worthy of getting a job, because your character going to carry a reputation to their, by their agency. I said, well, what you do when you don't work? I just go down there and sit at the temp office and look at them. And when I thought about it, I said, that's a good idea.
All right.
Y'all understand? He believed that he's going to get from temp to perm. And his action proved that he see. Y'all follow me? I remember a guy told me about his uncle way back in the, might have been in the 60s or 70s, that he went to Kroger's and he asked for the job, and the manager told him that he didn't have no openings. He said every day his uncle went up there and he put baskets in the place and swept the front. He said every morning he'd go up there and do that. Then after a while, that manager gave him a job. And he stayed there for 50 years. Action. Following what you believe. I believe when I got that job with Green Sheet, God, when they fired me from Oak Farm, and I was sitting in Iowa for a year, and I decided to go to seminary, and they had seminary class, it was on Monday, and then my unemployment ran out, and I got to get the job, and I got to take whatever comes. And I looked at the Houston Chronicle, and they had the Green Sheet working 4-day work week from Tuesday to Friday, and that was perfect. I'm off on Monday, I can go to seminary, and I can get the job. So Monday morning, I went out there, put my application in. And the man looked at me and said, oh, I wish you would have been here a few hours earlier because I hired somebody. I went back home and I sat there and I thought, I know I'm not going to find another job that's going to fit my schedule like this. I got back up the next day and I went right back down to the Green Sheet asking for that same job. And that man said, I'm sure glad you came back because the guy I hired didn't show up. The job didn't pay but $8 an hour.
That's all right.
It was a big cut in pay, but you know what? God kept me there for 26 years. Then I made more than overtime than I would have made without y'all following me. What you believe that God has this for you, you ought to stay out of it. That's the reason Jesus said you are a man ought to always pray and never give up. If you don't get it today, don't mean that God is not going to give it to you, that he's preparing you. He just wants to see how bad you want it. Faith requires some work. Let me show you. Let me emphasize that point a little bit more. That was 10 lepers found in Luke 17, verses 12 through 19. And he entered into a certain village. I think he got it up there. You got it up there? Come on. There we go. No, that ain't it either. There you go. He said, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, who stood afar off, and they lift up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass. I always say that's the best verse in the Bible. That's the shortest. And it came to pass. I like that. No matter what you're going through, you know what? It's going to come to pass. Whether it be good or bad, it's going to do what?
Amen.
All right. And it came to pass that as they went, they were what? Cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger Gentile.
And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith have made thee whole. Let me make a couple of points there. I'm going to let you go home. Number one. Listen to what was going on here. These 10 leprosy was a disease uncurable in that day. They couldn't find a cure. And it was deadly. And they didn't know, when people are ignorant, they're quarantined. They didn't know nothing about it, couldn't fix it, couldn't nothing to do. Just like during the 80s when AIDS first came out, we didn't know nothing. Everybody was scared. But leprosy was even worse than that. When a person got leprosy, their limbs start falling off, and they be walking alone, and their leg might fall off. And if they can put their hands in the fire and get burned, and they don't even feel a thing. Leprosy was just that bad. And there was quarantine. In other words, they had to stay away from the regular population. And if they are walking, they have to yell out to let everybody know, leper, leper, to let everybody know to get away from me because I'm coming down the road. And people would run from them. And one day they were walking, 10 of them. And you know what? Misery loved company. Now, he was a Gentile. And the others were Jews. And Jews normally don't have nothing to do with a Gentile. But when all of you in the same boat, it doesn't matter. Oh, y'all hear what I said? A lot of old white people are in the nursing home now. Probably in their young years didn't want to deal with a black person. But now they're in the same condition. Oh, y'all hear what I said? Misery love company. And now here these Jews had this Gentile with them, walking with them. And they saw Jesus. And they knew something about Jesus. They must have heard something about Jesus. Yeah, yeah. Because they yelled out to him, have mercy on us. Right. Jesus just told them, go show yourself to the priest. And that was the first thing. If you was healed of that disease, you had to go and get the bill of certification written from the priest that carry you through a ritual. Yes, and so they heard what Jesus said.
Right.
He didn't heal him.
That's right.
He just told him to go show yourself to the priest. And while they was going, they did what he said.
Yeah.
Going down the road and go and show themselves to the priest. And they looked down and saw, oh man, my hands. And they went on. They got healed before they got there. They got healing came because they obeyed the word that Jesus spoke. Y'all ain't hear what I say. We want a healing, but we don't want the obedience. We want the deliverance, but we don't want the obedience. We want the goodies, but we don't want to make the... y'all hear what I'm saying here? We want everything on the least path of resistance. But God's going to require you to do something to show that you believe what you're asking him to do. And he told them, go show yourself to the priest. And when they was gone, they all saw that they was healed. But one knew where his healing came from. And he turned back. And going back, glorifying God, shouting and glorifying God. And when he got to Jesus, he fell on his face.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Worshiping and praising and glorifying God.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. Thank you, Holy Spirit. A lot of people don't glorify God. Don't worship God. Because they can't see what God has done for them. When you can see what God truly has done for you, you're going to worship him. You're going to praise him. You're going to glorify him. Oh, you don't have to look hard to see what God has done for you. I wouldn't be able to get up this morning if it hadn't been for God. I wouldn't be able to preach right now. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be able to hear if it wasn't for God. And I wouldn't be able to see if it wasn't for God. It is in God that I move and have my being. It is in God that I see the sunrise and see the sunset. It is in God that y'all hear what I'm saying? I got a reason to praise God. I got a reason to glorify. That is just a simple thing. I don't have to look hard. And he's been good to me all of my life. In the up and the down, he's been there. Jesus said to that man, I know I counted 10 of y'all. I saw ya. I know it was 10. Where the other 9? I can tell you what it is. Some of them in here, Jesus. Some of them in here, that no matter what you do for them, they ain't gonna worship you. No matter what you do for them, they ain't gonna glorify you. They ain't here. You know who they are. I'm not gonna point them out to you. You know better than me. You know what kind of worship you get from them. You know that when they leave out of here, they're not gonna do nothing for you. You know when they leave out of here, they just heard me preach. They might say I preached a good sermon, but they ain't gonna do none of it. You know who they are, Jesus. I don't have to point it out, but they sit right here. Where is the other 9? Because he's supposed to be getting glory from 10 folks. He healed 10 folks. He woke up everybody in here this morning. And we all ought to have glory to God. Jesus can count, y'all. Don't have to look hard.
Yes. Don't have to look very hard.
Yes. I know a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
And none of them would die for me.
No.
Even my wife sitting there, she loved me. Now I ask her, she'd die for me. She probably tell me I'm supposed to die for her. Am I right, baby? And I know she loved me. Been with me almost going on, getting close to 50 years. Took some love to stay here with an old man like me.
Amen.
And if she won't die, I don't think none of y'all gonna do it. And Jesus died for me.
Yeah, thank you.
A no good wretch like me.
Yes, sir.
He didn't wait for me to stop gambling.
Yes.
He didn't wait for me to put the marijuana down. He didn't wait for me to put the burden. But while I was yet doing what I was doing, Jesus died for me.
Yes.
What kind of love is that? To die for 50 persons like I was.
Yes.
Lying. Thieving. Oh yeah, I look all right right now, but I know where I came from.
Yeah.
I was a good thief. You didn't know I was stealing, but I was good at it.
Yeah. Yes, sir. All right.
I had to have my bourbon and coke. When I couldn't find the bourbon, I wanted some marijuana. When I couldn't find the marijuana, the bourbon would do. Just a wretch.
Yeah.
I don't know how you were. I know some of you, God just enhanced your life.
Yeah.
But God had to reach out in the cesspool and pick me up.
Yeah.
I was filthy, covered with sin. And Jesus went to the cross for me while I was yet in my sin.
Yeah.
Paul said, scarcely. When one died for a good man. But Jesus died for some no good sinners like you and I. And you gonna tell me I won't fall on my face to glorify my God. I won't praise him. mighty, mighty long way.
Yes, sir.
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody. 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 You ought to make up your mind today. I want to live for him. I want my life to honor him. I want my life to bring him glory. And you want to do it every day of that life. If you made up your mind today, that's just what you want to do. Don't wait. Come right now. Come right now while there's still time. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. If he spoke to you, listen to him. He's here. Come. Come.
Yes.
Come. He's waiting for you. I know he spoke to somebody. To who, I don't know. But if you're here, will you come?